You're listening to the Business Forum Show, broadcast worldwide on Blog Talk Radio, Liberated Syndication, iTunes, and multiple media channels connected to the TBFS radio network. This top-ranked business talk radio show features the obstacles and challenges that are common to business everywhere around the world. Most importantly, you'll connect with thousands of success stories on how business people overcame these hurdles on their road to success. For any business owner in our listening audience who's facing a particular problem or challenge that you've not been able to solve, you might be concerned about your future, or you're just not satisfied with the financial results in your company. Reach out to us here on the broadcast at info@thebusinessforumshow.com. We'll be happy to put you in touch with hundreds of resources that you may not have been aware are available to your business today, many of which are free. For those of you needing a professional level of assistance in your organization, many of the hosts on the broadcast also coach business owners outside of the show. We have visited with thousands of business people, seen their struggles and challenges, and their solutions to these problems. We have a clue what's working and what's not. So please don't hesitate to reach out to us today at info@thebusinessforumshow.com. On behalf of David Ford, Jeff O'Brien, and the TBFS radio staff, I'm Kevin Hunter. Stay tuned. The Business Forum Show is next. Kevin Hunter here on the Business Forum Show, and my special guests with me in studio are from the John Birch Society. You can find them online at jbs.org. Again, the website, jbs.org. And it's Bliss Tu, the regional field director, and Charles Beck, our local coordinator that I have here in studio. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you for having us, Kevin.
Let's have you start, and why don't we start with you, Charles. Tell us a little bit about the mission of the John Birch Society and what you guys do.
Well, we are an education and action organization, Kevin. And what we stand for is less government, more responsibility, and with God's help, a better world. Mm-hmm. We try to do is create an informed electorate so that they will vote for candidates who will support our Constitution. Now, we're not a political organization in that we don't endorse any candidate or party. We encourage our members and supporters to support the candidate and parties of their choice. Just cast an intelligent vote. Mm-hmm. And we feel that if our electorate is informed, they're going to vote for candidates who will follow the Constitution. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we have during election time, of course, many candidates say good things, and once they get back to Washington, D.C., they vote the opposite way. And so we try to create an awareness of their voting records. We publish out of our magazine, the New American Magazine, twice a year we put out a voting record called the Freedom Index. And in that we rate how our legislators, mm-hmm. are in this case our congressmen, both the U.S. House of Representatives and U.S. Senate, how they are voting relating to the Constitution. So in the Freedom Index, in the printed document, you'll see a short essay on each bill that's being covered and how it is constitutional or not constitutional, and then we put the voting records. So if you vote 100% with the Constitution, you're 100%. If you vote every time against Constitution, obviously you're a zero, and the majority of members of Congress are somewhere in between.
Now, clearly that suggests that there's plenty of bills that are on the floor that are unconstitutional.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have to pick out 10 just simply for the volume of the report to make it readable. So we do every 6 months, we rate on 10 bills. But then we also
do
the cumulative scores. So over the 2 year during the term of office for the U.S. House of Representatives, which is 2 years, we will rate not only that previous 6 months, but the entire 2 years of that cycle. And by the way, if you go to our website, jbs.org, you can look on the Freedom Index, and if they're a long-term incumbent, you can look and see how they voted ever since they've been in office.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just interject one
sure.
thing here. Chuck Charles mentioned the slogan that, you know, less government, more responsibility, and with God's help, a better world. I don't want anybody to get the impression that when we say less government, that we're anarchists.
Mm-hmm.
We're not against government. We're against corrupt government. Mm-hmm. And we're in favor of government that stays within the boundaries and limitations that have been designated to it through the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in favor of good government. We think government has proper roles, and that's what we're in favor of. So we're not anarchists. Some people think, oh, mm-hmm. you guys are radical extremist anarchists, and that's mm-hmm. not what we are. We're more centrists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the extremists on one side want total government. The extremists on another side want no government. And we're in the center. We want constitutionally limited government.
Mm-hmm. So what do you say to people, because I love the story that you shared off air here, what do you say to people who think that if you're simply asking politicians to be accountable to the Constitution, people would describe that as being radical or radical right, and yet in my own experiences in business, I see people disagree with each other all the time, and they think of others as having radical views simply because their views are different than their own. So what's your response to people who think of as a constitutionalist as somebody who's this radical person?
Yeah. Well, I think, number one, I look back to the founding fathers, and I say at their time, in their era, they were considered radical and extreme.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're extremely in favor of principles, then I guess you could be called an extremist.
Mm-hmm.
George Washington said that that extremism in defense of liberty is no vice. And how extreme was he? Well, he was extreme enough to take up the sword against his king. You can't get more extreme than that.
Mm-hmm.
But I brought up something else with my mother at one time on this, and I said, she said, you know, Bliss, you just are so extreme in your positions. And I said, well, Mom, you know, let's see if you're an extremist. Do you believe it's okay to steal or it's not okay to steal? She says, well, it's wrong. And I said, oh, so would you steal a little or not at all? And she says, not at all. And I said, so you're an extremist against theft?
Mm-hmm.
She said, yes. And I said, okay, well, then you're an extremist. What about murder? Is a little murder okay? She says, well, no. And I said, so you wouldn't even think killing one person a year would be all right? She said, no. I said, so you're an extremist in favor of life, then,
mm-hmm.
and against murder.
Mm-hmm.
I says, is that a bad thing to be that kind of an extremist? She said, no. So, anyway, that's a little bit about that charge.
Yeah.
We can be extremely in favor of good government. We're extremely in favor of constitutionally limited government.
Mm-hmm.
We're extremely in favor of the Constitution.
And we'll come back to this again here in another segment here, but I want you to just speak briefly to the fact that one of the reasons why many political our politicians, our representatives, get low scores in this pamphlet is that they don't actually understand the Constitution. So nothing wrong with somebody running for office that doesn't understand it, but what should be the reasonable time frame in which somebody should know the Constitution if they're going to be a publicly elected official?
You know, we could make that very simple for them. We have a 6-DVD series called The Constitution is the Solution,
mm-hmm.
where they could study that in, oh, less than 6 hours' time and start to have a really good grip on the Constitution. But as they read the Constitution and they try and apply that to their new job of being elected, you know, representative or senator, it should be almost immediate that
mm-hmm.
they can be able to determine whether or not a bill is constitutional or not. Does it comply with the Constitution? They take an oath of office where they say, we're going to protect and defend the Constitution. Well,
mm-hmm.
they can't do that if they haven't read it,
if yeah.
they haven't studied it. So we recommend that while they're waiting to take office, they be studying the Constitution. It doesn't take real long. It's not very big.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know how many people have seen it. You know, there's the Constitution. So it's got a quarter of an inch thick. It's very
yeah.
tiny.
Yes.
Not a lot to study. Anybody can learn it.
Very good. Kevin Hunter here on the Business Forum Show with Bliss 2 from John Birch Society. Also, Charles Beck, the coordinator here from the Washington area. You can find him online at jbs.org. Again, jbs.org. We'll be back here in just a moment to talk about more about the John Birch Society and some of the impacts in business. Is that the best you can do? Think about where you used this question last, and you'll probably say you were car shopping. Hi, I'm Kevin Hunter. As host of the Business Forum Show, I've heard countless stories of success and thousands of tragedies of failure. As I looked at the mental obstacles we put in our pathways by default, I thought about this question. Is that the best you can do? Why not ask it of ourselves? Wouldn't it change everything if we did? The answer is yes, so I wrote the book titled, Is That the Best You Can Do? I drew from the many experiences I've had with people who are clearly not doing their best, and of course, those who were. The difference lies in the mindset and the tactics. Is That the Best You Can Do? It teaches you how to find success by design instead of failure by default. Is That the Best You Can Do? Visit our Facebook page, Is That the Best You Can Do? And then find it on Kindle on Amazon and start changing your life today. I'm Kevin Hunter. Thanks for listening. Kevin Hunter back here on the Business Forum Show with my guests, Bliss Two and Charles Beck from the John Birch Society. And we've been visiting about Constitution, and I think it's really interesting that you mentioned that so many elected officials don't actually understand the Constitution, and you have it in a nice little handy booklet in which they could be carrying it around in their pocket. There are some people, though, in politics that have been noted for their understanding of the Constitution. There's not that many of them, though. And when discussion happens with either in the House or the Senate, and you have somebody who's very well versed on the Constitution, and I think of even some of the video content that I see out on YouTube. Rand Paul is one of the people who understands the Constitution quite well, and you'll see him challenge various people based on the things they might be proposing because they're unconstitutional. So why do you think so many people have such a weak understanding of the Constitution, and yet they can be an elected official?
I think if you went back to the 19th century, a lot of Americans had a very good understanding of the Constitution. Mm-hmm. They studied it in their civics classes. They studied it in their schools. It was a topic of conversation among people. You know, maybe they weren't as busy watching television or things like that, mm-hmm. where they actually had time to look at maybe a higher priority, a level of discussion and understanding. Today, people are bombarded with so much information from so many directions, and sometimes there's kind of an allusion to the Constitution without even looking at it, mm-hmm. without even really saying what it actually says. Like you said, it's a little booklet. It's not a lot of information. It does require, I think, some thinking and some study to understand it. But a lot of people, well, you brought up Rand Paul. Let's bring up his father, too, Ron Paul. Mm-hmm. I remember Mitt Romney saying during debates, well, ask that question to Mr. Constitutionalist over there, Ron Paul.
You know, yes.
He would point to him because he recognized that he himself had a shortcoming. He was mm-hmm. not educated in the Constitution. So Mitt Romney was referring to, you know, referring the questions over to Congressman Paul, mm-hmm. Ron Paul. And Ron always used the Constitution as a standard to judge law by. Mm-hmm. And I recommend to people that if they learn the Constitution, they can judge candidates by the Constitution as well. Do they comply with the Constitution? They take an oath of office to protect and defend the Constitution. Do they keep their oath of office? Do they comply with the Constitution when they look at the bills that they're considering? Or do they vote for unconstitutional measures, mm-hmm. measures that don't comply with the Constitution, that usurp powers from the states or the people, powers mm-hmm. that were never delegated to mm-hmm. the U.S. Congress by the Constitution.
So where do people find the document that you have sitting in front of you here, Charles?
Well, like I say, our New American magazine comes out twice a month, and anyone can subscribe to it for $49 a year. Our members of the Birch Society get that as part of their dues. But you can go online and you can go to the jbs.org and search in some of the links there and look Freedom Index, and you can find it there and look up the current one, which is out right now. Mm-hmm. And in fact, and again, these are not endorsements because we don't endorse candidates, but they're the latest one. Four senators scored 100% on the Freedom Index. Senator Rand Paul, Senator Mike Lee of Utah, and the two senators from Alabama, Selby and Jeff Sessions. Mm-hmm. And then everyone else was somewhere at 90% or so, and some all the way down to zero. Mm-hmm. And so it all depends. But so that's one thing. If you look at the voting records, as we approach next year, where all the members of the U.S. House of Representatives have to stand for re-election and one-third of the senators do, how do you judge these guys if you're not really sure, if you're not following their voting records regularly? Well, go to a document like the Freedom Index, which, again, it has a brief essay on why a bill is constitutional or not, and then look them up and how they voted on there.
I think it's fair to say that both of you agree that the Constitution should trump anything that's going on in Congress. But kind of a comical analogy came to mind as you were talking about that. Wouldn't a politician who has, you know, a zero score on the Freedom Index or in the 10-20%, when I think about even a local police officer who makes a pledge to serve and defend people, and they turn out to be a dirty cop who gets involved in drugs and facilitates crime and does the exact opposite of what they're supposed to be, isn't this politician kind of painting themselves as the so-called dirty politician if in fact they're voting without any regard to the Constitution?
Yeah, I think we used to look for men that we called uncompromising statesmen.
Mm-hmm.
Today we look for compromising politicians.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a complete different level in who the people are. An uncompromising statesman didn't compromise with the Constitution or his principles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he might not get reelected if his constituents weren't happy about his ability to stick to his guns, so to speak, stick to his principles. But if they notice that that's what he's doing, and if that's what they wanted in the first place, he's going to get reelected time and time again.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened with Ron Paul. He was elected 11 times to Congress.
Wow.
And so, you know, that's his constituents had seen that in him, that mm-hmm. he was unwavering, uncompromising on principle. It didn't mean he couldn't compromise about the color of the new office building that Congress was building.
Mm-hmm.
It was on principle, not on things that didn't matter. But you know, you brought up the police, and it reminds me right now we're doing a Support Your Local Police campaign across America. This is our new special issue of our magazine,
mm-hmm.
and we've got a campaign with Support Your Local Police committees across the country. And what we're supporting is local police, local sheriff's departments, rather than nationalization of the police into a national police force like the Nazis had, the Gestapo,
sure. Sure.
Or like the Russians had with the KGB, or like the Cubans had with the DGI. And so what we're looking at here is, look, there's all kinds of elements in local government that can oversee police forces and rout out a nasty, corrupt police officer like you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But the voters have to rout out the nasty, corrupt congressman
mm-hmm.
that's in a district.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be able to recognize when they're doing things that are unconstitutional or immoral and rout them out.
Yeah, our slogan is support your local police and keep them independent. Keep them independent of federal control.
Mm-hmm.
Keep them responsible to the local communities they serve.
Because America's kind of unique in this, that we don't have a nationalized police force, that the founding fathers left police to the states, the mm-hmm. sheriffs, and the counties.
It's been a pleasure having you gentlemen in studio here with us. My special guests have been Bliss Tu and Charles Beck from the John Birch Society. You can find them online at jbs.org. Again, the website, jbs.org. And like I said, a pleasure having both of you with us here today.
Thank you very much.
Nice to be with you, Paul.
You've been listening to the Business Forum Show, broadcasting worldwide on Blog Talk Radio, Liberated Syndication, iTunes, and multiple media channels connected to the TBFS radio network. If you have any questions or comments for our staff, please reach out to us at info@thebusinessforumshow.com. On behalf of David Ford, Jeff O'Brien, and the TBFS radio staff, I'm Kevin Hunter. Thanks for listening.